Hey there, Sean.
Hey, Pierce. How's it going?
It's pretty okay.
All right. That means it's time for another episode of the It's Pretty Okay podcast. Let's do it.
Let's start the show. Dreams of mud pale next to reality.
Down a man this week, but bravely we soldier on. Kevin is under the weather, and so we will hold off, I think, on getting you the important thing that you need, which is our thoughts on Wendy's digital menu boards. The thing that they would desperately like for you to not call surge pricing. We will save that for when Kevin can string words together without hacking up a lung again. Instead, I think, Pierce, I think you have something for us.
Yeah, I apologized recently for an experience I had in a local market, which is a type of shopping experience that if you live in an area that is courting some sort of convenient affluence or affluence that needs a convenience store, you may have experienced this. They might have a butcher area and they have some groceries, but not your typical groceries, not your typical brands, certainly no in-house brands. They've got a sandwich area. It's not a full grocery store, but it's in some ways it can be an upscale 7-Eleven. They actually do have a place in the Atlanta area that is called Savvy Provisions, which is very much that. I've gone in before expecting it to be a little them to have a nice tin fish section, and it's not like Union Market in Richmond. They really just have like Bumblebee and stuff like that. So I went there and started thinking about how, and I've thought about how there are things that I enjoy there, but it's not quite there. And I've been shopping around of late. Going to Kroger is really big around here. Publix is really big around here. They have Sprouts. They have Whole Foods. Trader Joe's also exists here. So I'm in a place where there are many, many options for doing my grocery shopping. And in general, grocery shopping is something that gives me great pleasure. It is. I do it less than I once did, but because it used to be I had a lot of options that were walkable, but I still really enjoy the process of making a list and going through a grocery store sometimes later at night and just having the ritual of going. But I have noticed that while my proclivities have not changed, the way I enjoy grocery stores have not changed. I have noticed that some of the places where I shop have, and I do not think I am alone in noticing these changes and I think bemoaning them a bit. I think you both had the same reaction to one in particular that I had, and I'm hoping we can talk about that, but also what does still give us joy in shopping. Which leads to the joy of cooking, obviously.
So what you're alluding to, the sort of the feeling that we are all sharing, is that in a lot of ways, Whole Foods is kind of bullshit now.
You mean the prime food market?
I won't call it that. You can.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a thing.
JB's Food and Stuff.
It's a thing that we probably all should have seen coming. Like, it's...
Yeah.
I'm falling back into my role on this show. Like, when is the last time that something, you know, a sort of outsidery thing that you liked got hoovered up by one of the biggest corporations on the planet and got better.
Yeah. Like Sean,
Max, if you have a genuine answer, I would love to hear it, because I'm being a little flippant, but I'm also I'd have a little trouble answering it sincerely.
Yeah, I definitely have trouble answering it. The only things I can come up with, I have so many more options in the negative, and this is gonna be an unpopular opinion, but you could make an argument for Star Wars being purchased by Disney purely for the amount of content. Like, as someone who just really enjoys the Star Wars universe, now there's like so many more movies and shows than there would be. Now most of them maybe aren't great, or some of them, so like that's not great. But yeah, there's definitely more examples. I mean, the example I jumped to on the other side is actually pretty similar to Whole Foods, which is it's a business that's not particularly highly profitable the way it's designed, and they're not terribly scalable. And that's ski resorts. Independent ski resorts are fantastic, but they're typically struggling, and, you know, making expensive repairs to ski lifts is really expensive and hard, and they don't make a ton of money, so they get bought up by, you know, one of the big, there's arguably like two, maybe three, so like Powder Corp and the Vail Corp or whatever, and they buy them, and there's things that they make better, but overall the experience is, most people think it's worse. It's sanitized. It's not the same thing you used to get.
Because
it has to scale across the country and exactly. to try to make money.
If you anagram out Vail Corp, it is, for Mr. Robot Watchers, that is Evil Corp.
Are you sure about that?
It's
Vail? Oh, it's an A. Okay.
Whatever. A, maybe if you say it with some sort of weird, like, super Northern European accent, like Evil Corp. do it as text to speech. Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, no. I mean, in general, you're talking again at Whole Foods is like, it's a tricky one. I Whole Foods used to be known for something that just wasn't that scalable. It was localized, in my opinion. Every time you went to a Whole Foods, they would have a lot of local products. Mm-hmm. That certainly doesn't scale across the country, and it certainly doesn't scale when you're driven by a tech-driven company that tries to cut costs at every corner to make money.
So I can actually speak to this a little bit as someone who spent, I don't know, a decent amount of time on multiple occasions with one of the key managers of the Whole Foods in Arlington, in Clarendon. And there is they traditionally would have a budget for, and I'm sure lots of stores do this and caught on to it, but like having a budget to get the local things, to have the cards that say this is local, here's a little bit about that business. And that's still done. But the other thing about the scale, and this is where I think an important shift has happened, is like Whole Foods, by having this network of like common branding, common expectations, you know that you'll get local things at different places, but there are lots of things that you would see at each store that are otherwise hard to come by, but they had this network, they had this scale where you could get, I don't know, I feel like the kind of strange Ezekiel bread, the fact that that's, now that's kind of everywhere, but that type of thing being in every store, having certain grooming products, soaps, things like that in every store. Like, I'm sure they have Dr. Bronner's in your local Kroger now, but have they always had that? And that's one thing that was there is there is a demographic that is in mind, and they know that they live all over the place. We're going to cater them. We're also going to give them the local flavor with our branding, with our approach. With this change, the scale instead has been, and you kind of got to it, Max, is like the prime, the 365 brand, which is totally fine products. But then at that point, I don't feel that much different from going to a Kroger. And I think that's unfortunate, because then you've changed the character and the expectations that people come to you for.
Right. That's exactly the thing, because, right or wrong, whatever, 5 years ago, if you went to Whole Foods, you were going to spend a significant markup on what you would expect to pay for things at any other grocery store, but there was an implicit assumption that you were, you know, there's the whole sort of greener and more environmentally conscious and more sort of health focused aspect, but there's also like an implicit assumption that what you're getting is of a higher quality than what you are able to get at another grocery store. And the problem with that is that, you know, I mean that's just, that is purely obviously not the case anymore. And it's part of this larger trend in American commerce, which, you know, I don't know how many times I've said it on the podcast or just in conversations with people recently, like the goal of companies is not like, it's not to make the best quality thing or offer the best quality experience you can at a given budget. It is what is the worst quality thing we can get you to pay for. I'm serious. Like, it sounds,
no,
it sounds too... so cruel. It sounds cruel and malicious when you say it that way, but like, emphasize, what is the store brand if not the generic kind of worse version of what the store sells? And if you emphasize that above everything else, what are you saying?
I mean, so there is this concept that we've probably talked about before of like blending and just the way products look and are marketed. It's like there is a simplicity. Like I've heard it came up honestly in the Clippers logo discussion because they just had a new one and everything. There's this move towards minimalism and adoption in branding, but it's really weird. Like you go back to the creator of Bob's Red Mill just passed away, and that was this homey thing, and it's been appealing, and whether it was a reality or not, it has an appeal. But we're moving to this blanding, and even think about one of the biggest markets for beverages right now, or alcoholic beverages. It's still the spiked seltzer thing. This is just grain alcohol, carbonation, and like a little weird cherry flavor. Like that's the biggest thing. It's not crafted. It is just bland, and that's fine. It drives a lot of stuff, but it does take a lot of the personalization, the community out of it. And I think that that's, you know, it sounds kind of weird to say like, I want my, going to, back to the convenience store, or Max, you have a shop right by you. But like when I want to go to the grocery store, I feel like I'm going to, the thing that differentiates it for me is a big part is feeling like I'm at a place that I can be a regular at and enjoy. And some of the places I've enjoyed most, it's like you go there and it's not quite like going to a bar, but I know people, and I experienced it in Arlington. That was one of the sad things, is employees that were always there and would know people and would connect and be able to say like, hey, you know, you really should be buying this week. And that personalization, that community is a big deal. That's what gets you to maybe change your habits a little bit. And isn't that what grocery stores are doing a lot, is like, how do we get you to come back? And how do we get you to change your habits? As opposed to, I think a lot of maybe, Sean, what you're getting at is like, hey, how can we get the most out of you on each trip? Because we don't know that you're going to come back. And that's fine. That's pretty capitalistic in a lot of ways. It's like, we've got you right now. We need to get the most out of you as possible.
Yeah. And to amplify that effect even more for Whole Foods, you know, you've got a theory that you have liked to tout at various points, that everything is a tech company, or everything thinks it's a tech company now. And I push back on that often, but Whole Foods is part of a fucking tech company now. It literally is.
And if you're like me, you got a lot of emails for a period of time asking you to sign up for the thing where you pay with your palm.
I was just about to mention that.
Yeah. And so that they, so what the bargain with with Amazon really feels like is, and the move is like, yes, there is that personalization. Yes, there might have been that community, but we can give you this modern times convenience of paying with your palm and knowing exactly where stuff is, ordering ahead. And those are, to an extent, laudable. But to go back to the original thing, what I think made Whole Foods an attractive thing for Amazon to buy is they were a very strong brand. They had a loyalty, but that demographic wanted a thing that is not there anymore. I don't think you have the happy hours that you once had in there. You don't have the little restaurants inside because those take up space that are more valuable for Amazon Returns or Instacart, or I think that's what it's called, right? But you know what I mean? It's like there are other things we can amplify without losing the brand a little bit and that convenience.
Yeah. This is reminding me, as I have been on a run lately of clearing out my many tabs and bookmarks and things that I have in like Instapaper or whatever. Jason Kotke, not terribly long ago, shared a link to an Atlantic article, and I have many problems with the Atlantic, but they somebody wrote a piece, the thrust of which was like, yeah, minimalism is cool and all, but you know what makes a house feel like home? Clutter. The clutter is what makes it unique. The clutter is the stuff that makes it special, and that is the literal opposite of like what, you know, what all of these providers are learning. It's how much Amazon return space can we jam in? How much can we smooth out our, you know, our visual branding, you know, so everything is in similar looking packaging. It's just like, it's all, I mean, we talked about this however long ago we did the episode on food delivery apps and how everybody is being made to be like, it's not even antisocial. These apps are promoting an asocial vision of life. And like, that's what Whole Foods feels like now. That's what, yeah. I mean, it's, but like the grocery, you know, I feel silly. Like I'm leave it to beavering a little bit, but like the grocery was like a fixture in your neighborhood, and you went and you were around your neighbors. Like you said, you had a relationship with the people that ran and worked in your grocery store. And like, that is so vanishingly rare now because it's just becoming another facet of life that we're trying to use technology to like smooth out and reduce the friction until it becomes just another thing that you kind of slide through.
And to make one, I want to get into positive things in a second, Max. Sure. Really have a thread that I want to ask you about, but I think as we maybe transition to that, one thing, Sean, that you lead me to there is we talk about convenience and like the store brands and everything. And that comes down to like, how can we make the most margin everywhere? Mm-hmm. And I do know that when there was this purchase by Amazon that there were people at the Whole Foods I know that worked there long term. They had to take second jobs. Their healthcare changed, all of this to the negative. And so not only was the focus of the store in like getting those margins up changing, but also it meant that the people that the employees that you maybe would look forward to seeing all the time, part of the reason they were there is because it was a good place to work. And if you also are applying that type of management to your people, well, the people aren't going to be around. And then all of a sudden it becomes like, well, like the other Amazon jobs where the turnover is tremendous. And Amazon is not the only place doing this. I'm sure it is the case at all these big chains where it is harder and harder to live there and have a living. Like, hello, inequality is very, very bad right now. But these all compound. And that's why your community store kind of is turning, and there's a fear of taking chances at these stores. But Max, I'm thinking of positive things, and I have had really positive shopping experience near where you live, and I'm curious if, well, I know it's maybe not your all the time grocery store, but why do you think that that shopping experience is unfortunately unique, but why is it so compelling?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a tough one for a variety of reasons.
I think I know, because I've been thinking about it a lot.
I know
lately,
the
but
answer.
I
don't want to say it out loud. no, I mean, it is nice to have places that are still serving artisan needs, but those needs are expensive. So yeah, I have a few local grocery stores here that are locally owned and operated. They take really good care of their employees. Their employees are there every day and they're very happy. And their products are great. And it does feel very reminiscent to that feeling you want of like a local grocer. But they're really expensive.
Yeah.
And so they only really work in places where they're surrounded by people that have enough money to routinely shop there is the bottom line. Like, you know, I live in a place that's like a pretty high cost of living, especially relative to the population. And so there is enough people here with disposable income to choose to effectively choose to spend more money on groceries than they need to, where I think for a lot of people, you know, you're trying to buy groceries effectively as cheaply as you can. I think most people, you know, have grocery budgets and are trying to save money on groceries. And the store near me, Newport Market, I mean, I love it, but I certainly don't go there for all my groceries because it is, you know, everything is a good bit more than anywhere else. Now, I have noticed that at the same time, they don't have the cheaper option. So if you think about it, like, I'll give shredded cheese as an example. Like, if I go to Safeway, the cheapest brand of shredded cheese in the bags is probably the Lucerne Safeway brand. And if it's on sale, it's probably, you know, I think it was $1.99 for an 8-ounce bag when I went yesterday.
Yeah.
Something like that, right? And at Newport Market, the cheapest bag of shredded cheese is $4 or $5.99, but it's Tillamook, which is the same price that they charge for Tillamook at Safeway. So it's like you are getting Tillamook's not quite an artisan product, but it's an example that people know. It's a more artisan product than the Lucerne brand. And it's not necessarily that they're like just charging an upcharge because they can. It's that their products are of theoretically higher quality or different products. And so there is something special about that. I absolutely love shopping there for a variety of reasons. It's the same, you know, to your point, the people that work there are happy. It's the same people every time. They know their store in and out. But they have high quality products. But it's also, you know, if you're trying to save money on groceries, presumably, you know, a lot of people talk about, oh, I'm trying to eat out less to save money. Like, if I did all my shopping at Newport Market, I wouldn't be saving money over eating out. Like, it's a tough balance there.
And sometimes I think you want convenience, but the thing I'm really reacting to is like, that is not why I went to Whole Foods, and I'm going to go elsewhere if I'm just going for convenience because there are places closer. There's Publix and Kroger.
But my point is like there has to be a market like Newport in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Like that is a massive market. Like there is, to your point, an underserved clientele of people who want a more artisan experience is what I'm calling it and are effectively willing to pay more for it. You know, you live not that far from Buckhead. Like I would imagine there's something like that or is there not?
Buckhead is maybe not for a variety of reasons. Buckhead is not the best example.
Okay.
You probably want, yeah. It's,
I don't know my
like
Atlanta.
The,
I was trying to name a neighborhood that maybe has more money.
The demographic is one where it is people who are willing to spend a lot of money, but they're maybe not as thoughtful about it as people from like the Decatur area. In the Decatur area, for instance, there is a Kroger that has been vacant for over a year. And every couple weeks, people are basically emailing Trader Joe's to put in a Trader Joe's because they don't have one. So there's the difference in your demographics. Mm-hmm. It's about intent. But yeah, and I think the places exist in pockets. The kind of market I talked about, I think is trying to move there, but something that's a little bit bigger, something that's more established, it does have the scale to have things regularly. What you're, I'm probably forgetting, like, what you've described Newport Market, maybe that exists, but I'm not really sure that it does in such a big city. I think it's hard. It can be hard to glom onto that. But I have recently gone to Sprouts, which is a national chain. But what is cool about there is they have good house brands. They have consistent throughout, and I've seen this in Colorado. I've seen it here. I think other Sprouts. They have brands that are consistent throughout. But then they do have local things. The one thing they do that's, I think, awesome, and I don't see other places as much, is they really lean into seasonal things. Like right now, if you go in there, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I got a huge bag of oranges for $1. Because it's like, it's the season, buy it now, it will be gone. This is the place that will have everything be hatch chili for ooh, you know, a couple weeks. But what I think it gets to, and my beloved moms in the DC area, I don't know where else they have them. What am I enjoying about that, and what is missing from Whole Foods and what Newport has, is not only will you get the local products, that's great, that's fine. But they are putting their stamp next to a thing and saying, we think you'll like it. Give it a chance. And it's this presentation of wonder. I have a list. I want to do the list, but it's the same reason I travel. It's the same reason why I go on runs. It's like, I want to see cool stuff, and I want to be enticed by that cool stuff. And sometimes that's a sale. Sometimes that's a new product. Sometimes that's a sample. And so I went to a liquor store the other day, and I ended up buying something that I was not going to buy because there was someone there from the company and they gave me a sample and everything else. But so I really like Sprouts because they do a lot of that. They do those displays. I don't see that as much at Whole Foods anymore. There's not like, hey, this is new, we're going to take a risk on it because we feel good about it. They're not doing that. It's like, buy the house brand. And I will say, I think Costco does a good job of that. They have samples, and so I get enticed, and they'll have a sale, and it'll be like, oh, dates are $2 off this week. Did I need to buy a pound of dates? No, but I was enticed. It made me feel that wonder and think, oh, I'm going to make energy balls with these dates. It's going to be awesome. I've been meaning to do that forever. Am I going to do it? Probably not. But I liked that I was enticed in that you know, that wonder was there. I was getting wishful about things.
Yeah. And the store that does that the best is Trader Joe's.
Yes.
They're the ones that, yes, their whole thing is, here's our little flyer of our new items. Come and, yes, try this thing. Come and try that thing. They know that, oh yeah, $2.99. It's $2.99. Oh, I'll try this thing. Little snacky clusters. We got these like potato chip and Fritos covered in milk chocolate. It's like, what? Yes, $2.99. Like
the pumpkin
they
have is coming.
They have their new aisle thing where they always put the, you know, they do samples. I mean, their whole thing is like, come try her.
You've got a list, but like, give me some verve. Give me some.
They know
some
your
spice.
List at Trader Joe's is pretty open ended. Like, and they even do seasonals. They do seasonal supply for their produce too, which is why sometimes it can be frustrating in a way. They don't sell tomatoes in the winter, I don't think. And they might sell tomatoes, but like, there's a lot of things you can't get there that you can get in other stores year round, because of the way they supply to be cheaper.
And so like this is to bring this circle around, like that is an optimistic vision of like convenience and making things smoother for your customers. It's like Trader Joe's is cycling in new products and lowering the barrier to entry on getting you to buy those products. And that's a very different and better kind of smoothing than here is our generic, minimally branded store brand, because all we really care about is you coming and paying with your palm so we can do targeted ads to you. So like every trip to Trader Joe's, except when it's particularly chaotic, like feels kind of exciting. Like, what am I going to find? I also would like to credit you, Pierce, for giving a very generous reading to the purpose of Costco samples, as being designed to entice you and enhance your experience, as opposed to being a way to mollify the restless animals who are prowling the store for 4 hours because there are 2,000 people there. There are more people in your Costco on a weekend day at any given point in time than there have been at like half the concerts you've gone to in your entire life.
Oh, there's more people in my Costco at any time on a weekend day than there is population of the city I live in. It doesn't make any sense. Like, where are these people coming from? Are they flying in to go to Costco?
But this is the thing about it. And it, like, the effect of what they're doing, I'm saying what I mean.
Yeah.
People aside, but a lot of people are in Costco. We should give credit that we are talking about a shopping experience that is, you know, beyond the essential, and plenty of people are shopping for the essential and essential only. It is a week to week thing. And I am very respectful of that. But even if that is your shopping experience, you're still going to wonder. You're still going to think, okay, maybe next week I can do this, or maybe next time, or I'll save up and do something special. And I think that is one thing I did not expect with Costco is that, and it's not just, it's obviously not just food. They have everything. You want to get tires, and get tires there. It's you go into like the little pharmacy section, and they have liquid IV on sale, and they're like, you know what? I am going to work out a lot more this month, and I'm going to get that because that makes sense. Or, oh, you know, if I save up a little bit more, I can buy this shed, and then I can finally do the stuff in the backyard I intended. That is, I think there's a reason they're doing it, but I think that that's very cool. And I wish, not everybody can do it, but I wish, you know, more grocery stores leaned into the wonder. This is a place where you kind of have to go. And if you care about your store more than just that bottom line or people returning Amazon stuff to it, I don't know. I think you could do that. I mean, it seems Costco is very different from Newport, but people seem to enjoy working there. They have products that they believe in, and sometimes they put them on sale and they want you to know, no, this is a really good deal because you have our full backing on this product.
All right. Does that seem like a good place to wrap up and head along to Pierce's Sorry?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean,
any of these places.
The conclusion is that Whole Foods sucks now.
well, but I do want to say, Max, if they want to hire any of us, we've got ideas. Any of these companies, we've got ideas. Yeah. We've laid them out. We'll take meetings.
I'm sure there are maybe some local provisions places somewhere in the place where you live. Go check them out. You know, you can go in and not buy something. It maybe it's prohibitively expensive. Maybe they don't
sell
stuff
you can.
Want. Yeah, if you have the willpower. But check them out, because some of those places are doing some cool stuff. And yeah.
Yeah.
Want more local butcher shops. Mine.
Ooh. That would be nice.
That was one of the reasons I moved here, is a butcher shop and beer bar. And then it went out of business.
That's a damn shame.
Red meat and beer are not in vogue, I guess. I don't know.
That's a damn shame.
I agree.
All right. What are you apologizing for this week, Pierce?
So I mentioned going to that liquor store the other day, and I'm just confirming. When is this from? Well, I thought, okay, yes. So there's a local liquor store that I end up going to maybe once every 2 weeks. And I often go in and buy something because I think they're doing a great job and there are little things that I'll want or need. And last week I went in because, among other reasons, they turned 4. This is Elemental Spirits Company. And they had a drink from a cocktail contest called the High Tea that had Italicus, which is a bergamot liqueur, and dry vermouth, and then Old Fourth Ward Distilling Company's rye whiskey, which is a local local place. So I was in there and I ended up buying some gin from Old Fourth Ward, and I got a bunch of coasters and things from the person that was working the stand. So I was really happy. In the course of that, I talked about things I had purchased recently from the store. Max, you are a fan of the cocktail, the paper plane, correct?
I am very much a fan. I just recently went to the store and finally bought all the ingredients to make at home. Nonino is expensive as hell.
Yes, Nonino is very expensive. And when I was in the shop the week before, I had purchased something, and I was saying to this distributor, this taster, and they may not have been paying attention, but I apologize for my loud ignorance, which is I said, yeah, I was in here last week, and I'm going to be able to, you know, make paper planes now. I purchased something that I'm looking forward to having. It's from Fort Have Distillers, which usually makes Amaro, which makes sense because they made Nocino, which is a black walnut liqueur. It is lovely. It's amazing. But now I understand why the paper plane I made tasted kind of funny, because Nocino and Nonino are both Amaro, but the bases of their flavors are not interchangeable. So I really looked like a fool in front of this employee from Old Fourth Ward Distilling, and I'm all the more glad that I purchased some gin from them to absolve me of my sin of ignorance.
Okay. I like it. So no trivia from Kevin, so we'll close up with a big idea from pop culture this week. And it's funny you mention local distillers, because I sort of just noticed yesterday that the artist formerly known as 1-8 Distilling in DC has closed, which is a shame. We had a very cool tour and tasting there once. But I sort of always got the sense that was maybe a tough part of the city to operate in.
Well, now it's super, super bougie. Well, so I think it got double, harder.
Double whammy, harder in a different way, but yeah. So, I think it's got me thinking about, taking an opportunity to, throw some support to a local business that you haven't been to in a while when you get a chance. Because they need it. And, if it's a distiller or a brewer or a vineyard or whatever, you can get some end product and take it home and have a drink while you listen to Cat Power's cover of the Bob Dylan Royal Albert Hall concert, all the better. So, on that note...
Someone's yelling Judas from behind me.
That is the end of the show. You can find us at our home on the web, www.prettyokpod.com, or you can subscribe to the show feed on your podcast app of choice. We'll be back next week to talk about something else. Until then, I'm Sean.
I'm Pierce.
I'm Max.
All right, the Whole Foods pizza is still pretty good. Thanks for listening.
Bye. It's with